let's take care of Mo.
Like, blah, blah, blah.
He's earned his money.
Pay me what you want it.
Getting Mo in, who is our leader.
Don't act like you forgot.
He's a better man than me, because I would have held out until I got my money.
Bitch, better have my money.
NYJ. Couch Scouts. I'm your host,
Peter Antonelli.
I'll tell you right now, the Antonelli household is rocking. And my co-host,
Justin Fleming.
No question, we top five.
Top five that are alive. NYJ.
Couch Scouts.
5 years, 86 million, and it's about damn time. Welcome back, everybody. This is your host, Peter Antonelli, here with my co-host, Justin Schwendeman.
What's going on, Jeff fans?
Part of that 5 year, $86 million deal, 53 and a half guaranteed, $37 million being paid out over the first 2 years. This guy got more money than if we were to have franchise tagged him next year.
Everything he wanted.
We opened up negotiations. My wife was pregnant. My son's going to be on the podcast next week. It's finally over, and we took care of one of our own homegrown boys. Couldn't be more happy with this deal.
Happened right at the end of the deadline. Isn't that insane?
Right at the end of the deadline. I love the article I read on that.
I love all the reports, though, that it didn't get done. You got Adam Schefter saying it didn't get done. And then 20 minutes later, Mo gets signed to the deal that he wanted.
I like that the Jets broke it themselves. And I love the story that was on NJ.com about how this went down. And after three proposals, the Jets finally sent something at 3:50 in the morning. So you want to look at the basic math of it. After 2 years, this is a deal that got done in 11 and a half hours. And I tip my hat to both sides. Because did Mo get nice coin? Absolutely. But the Jets got something structure-wise and length of the deal that they stood firm on. And both sides gave a little to get. And this is a win-win and a big win for us.
I think it's a huge win for Mike Maccagnan. It's insane. I can't even think of things that he's messed up on so far.
I know.
We talked everything. About that. I've loved everything he's brought. Him and Bowles together is unbelievable. They're like a monster.
They're like a monster.
Two-headed.
Listen, we talked about their relationship, what type of working relationship it seemed they had early on, and the rapport they built. And in my opinion, I don't know if there was talks with Sheldon. They started to touch base and see what figures were looking like. But Bowles recognized Mo as a guy he didn't want to lose. Mac watched this guy have a career year last year. I just think they smartened up in the end, and they did what was best for this locker room, this team, and this point in time.
No, I agree that Sheldon or not, they wanted to lock Mo in anyway. I think Mo's a player you can't get rid of. You can't get rid of a player like that. He's consistent. He's big. He's quick. He's fast. He gets to the quarterback. He stuffs the run. He does all that. He's a player that you can't get rid of. He's a player that's getting $17.2 million a year. Somebody on the top five defensive players, right?
Third. And I wanted to ask you how you felt about that. You got Vaughn. You got Sue. Mo slotted in right above Fletcher Cox. You got Olivier Vernon, who really set the bar here for the Cox signing. And then, of course, Mo. You got Justin Houston. And then Watt coming in behind all them next year, who actually got his deal first. So you look at the figures, and with Mo getting what he wanted more than Cox, technically, 100,000. Coming in number three in the league for defensive players is a nice spot for Mo.
Very nice. And like we said before the show, Sue's a player that doesn't, would you rather have Sue or Mo? Yeah, Sue's a beast, but he only comes when he wants to come. Mo's a player that's going to be there every day. I bet he's a lunch pail player to me.
And that's something we've talked about a lot. But the reason we have the surprise in our voice and the jubilance is because we didn't think this was happening. The minute Leonard Williams got selected 6th overall, and I still don't know how he fell there, but it is what it is. And we got a bevy of talent up front that we've put ourselves in a good position with for the future with this deal. But the minute Leonard Williams was taken, every Jet fan around the nation said, Mo's gone. If you're going to tell me different, you're lying. And the fact that we went through last year and every time Mo did something good, it was almost bittersweet. because it was like, they gotta get this guy.
Are we gonna do what we did to Revis?
Exactly.
Yeah.
We spent a whole off season. I know Fitz is looming, and this is even gonna touch on Fitz, but we spent a whole off season waiting for this guy to go. Unfortunately, but waiting to hear news of a team coming in, a Jacksonville, a Oakland, the minute the tag came down, how hard a deal would be.
But the reason why we say all that is because we have a history of doing that to every player.
Yes.
It's not, this is Keyshawn, unusual. Signing a player like this is unusual.
Absolutely. We take our best and generally try to get something for him, but we take our best and refuse to play him. And that's the reputation we've had for how long. But we're trying to turn over that new leaf with a new regime. And as you were saying, has there been a bigger move for Maccagnan? This is a huge stepping stone of trust for us and this new regime and this front office and what we really believe they can do.
I just think the culture is completely different than we've ever seen before. It's very tight. We don't know about things. Like, Todd Bowles brings that Bill Parcells culture to the team. And we really have never had that. Bill Parcells was in our franchise for how long? Not long enough. Not long enough to give an effect. I think Bowles
disagree
is
with that.
Really,
he turned the ship around.
I'm saying that Bowles is really, really implanting this culture in this team.
That's what was needed, because we loved grabbing the tabloids. We loved grabbing the headlines. But you know what? It was spiraling out of control there toward the end. And Rex had a team that was doing their thing in terms of their own thing. Not exactly what the team needed done.
I don't want to say that we're completely gone from tabloids. Obviously, we picked a quarterback in the second round who no one expected us to pick. So we're still trying to grab headlines. We're a New York team. We're always going to do that. But things like this, by signing, locking Mo down, this is a big, big move for this team.
Absolutely. Now, you just brought up the quarterback position there, and we'll lead back to more Mo talk. But let's talk about what type of effect this has on a potential Fitzpatrick deal now. Mo brought his figure down $5.7 million for this year. His cap number is now 10, as opposed to the 15.7 we were looking at under the tag. Jumps to 18 next year, but we'll worry about that next year. What does this do for Fitz right now?
For me, nothing. If he's not there day one on the contract that we're offering him, I don't want him. I don't want him. Put Geno out there and get Hackenberg ready for a couple years down the line. If this guy's not ready to be there day one, I don't want him.
The real question, though, is does this 5-7 put us in any better position, any different position to sign Fitz?
Well, if he's asking for the 15, I don't think we should give it to him. But if I guess, obviously, we're going to give him the 12. If he's not going to take the 12, we have enough money to give him the 12 now, right?
The contract we have on the table, 12 years for this year. 6-6 over the next two. And realistically, you're looking at about an $8 million cap figure. What we're going to have after the Darren Lee signing, which, where is that?
What's going on?
We'll get there in a week. Hopefully to be done by then. But after we're done with that, you're looking at about two and change. So you add this 5-7, and with that, you got about an $8 million pocket there to fit a Fitz deal in. And that's why it has to be multiple years, because you got to be able to spread this guarantee out. When he said, I'll come out and I'll play for the 1-for-12, that's why we can't do that. That's the whole point of why we are where we are right now. So this puts us in a position where if he quote-unquote caves, it fits. No other deals technically need to be done at this point.
Just talking about it frustrates me. It frustrates
me. I can tell
that
with the head shaking and... You're ready to go to Geno full-time right now?
Yes.
Okay, listen.
I am.
It's a conversation for another day. The point of really steering this here is if Fitz is willing to come in on that figure, we all know they were willing to take him. There was work that would have had to have been done to accomplish that, though. In an Eric Decker, in a Buster Screen, in maybe a Marcus Gilchrist. There was work to fit it. Now, with Mo done, that no longer looming over this team for another training camp and another year, we're in a position to fit that as well and have an off season that a lot of people didn't think we were going to be able to pull off.
Do you think he takes it?
I don't know how he takes it, but yes. And I say I don't know how he takes it because I don't know how you crawl back without seeming like you crawl back. And he's not going to move on from his representation. So how do you maneuver and really come and take the contract that's on the table if you're willing to take it after you haven't taken it for this long?
Exactly.
I don't know how his camp does that. But with the position we're in now, and this has been a question all over the airwaves on Twitter and anywhere else you look for Jets news, do you up the offer to Fitz right now?
Do I? Definitely not. If he's not going to take it, I think we should give him 10. But we're giving him 12, and he wants 15. That's insane to me. Especially a player, I don't even want to get into it, but it's a player that over time, he's gotten money, he's stunk. He's gotten money, he's stunk.
We know the history.
Exactly. So why do we want to get any part of that?
This locker room last year and the way this team rallied, and he's got their trust. He's got their pulse. I'm not saying they won't play for Geno. They're grown-ass men. They're professionals. But my point is there's a certain thing and it that takes a while to get, and they got it quick. You gotta put some type of value on that.
And deep down, I know McCagnett, Fitzpatrick is his boy. You know what I mean? It's Geno's not
his
boy.
There's a history there. I wouldn't say boy, but there's a history.
And his first year with the team, he was successful. So that's always going to be the quarterback that he started his career with.
Good point. He put himself in a good position by getting that trade. So a very good point. Let's steer this back to Mo and what it does to our D-line now. Let's forget about the money. Let's talk about how we attack, knowing that we now have Mo, Sheldon, and Leonard for at least, in reality, the next 2 years, in reality, three. How do you attack it? How does it fit?
I think, like we were talking before the show, I think we're going to run a lot of 4-3. It's going to be a lot of four-down linemen. Because we need all those guys out there. They're all game
players.
You put
your best players on the field.
You're damn right. Those players are on the field all game. They should be. Mo should never leave the field. Sheldon should never leave the field. And the way that Leonard played last year, he should never leave the field.
But I just think the way you make that work, and it's kind of contradictory to say, because in reality, a 3-4 team, you are really only in base on first down. But I really can only see us playing a true 3-4 on first downs. I can see a combination of Mo inside. I don't want to put Sheldon in there just because of his quickness, but a Leonard inside with a Mo rotating with him, with Sheldon at the three. You can rotate passing downs, a Malden and a Jenkins, who used to having their hands down.
Well, I think that we all know Bowles is an itchy finger kind of guy. So we're going to stack that line. And Darren Lee added to this team with that speed. Calvin Pryor. Those players are going to be in the backfield and more than we've ever saw.
And that type of package to me is the D-line I was just describing. Now, when you're looking at a second, and I don't know, let's say 6-5, maybe you go with a McClendon in the middle later on in the season.
Which
possibly,
I think will play well for us.
Hopefully, Deion Simon. I agree with you. That's why I don't want to seem like I'm rooting for Simon to take the job. But just money-wise and future-wise, yeah, one of those. That type of situation is a good way to put it. But you can look at a McClendon, and now you move Sheldon to the outside, put a Mo or a Leonard at the three technique, and the other one on the strong side, the end. So now you got a defensive line that can hold up, and you're still in a position where you can cover. You know, it's just it makes the defense more multiple.
What offensive line is moving those three D linemen?
Okay, but we had that last year. Now with growth of Leonard, with Sheldon, with a solid offseason closure on his suspension situation, I hope to get that player back we had 2 years ago.
I don't think we lose a step in Mo from the broken leg, but obviously he's going to start the season a little rusty.
You don't think we lose a step with Mo? And I'm asking that way because you've had an opposite type of voice for a while on that.
I'm saying he's going to start the season a little rough. He's not going to start as explosive as he did last year.
That's just working yourself into shape, so I'll agree with you.
Exactly. He's going to be out of shape. It's going to be the first time we saw him out of shape.
I think Mo going to be Mo by a month into the season, though.
Damn right.
So you're looking at him, Sheldon, and Leo. You picked up the plugger in McClendon.
Any combination
of the other spot.
I'm excited about McClendon.
You like McClendon, huh?
A lot.
I like the attitude he's brought in.
And I love that he comes from a Steelers organization.
I love that.
Yes.
We talked about that with McCagnon's first ever signing. Give me the name. Come on.
Cornerback, right?
Yep.
Oh, my goodness. What's his name?
Curtis Brown.
Yep. Yeah.
Curtis Brown. And we talked about anybody coming from a program like that and the prestige that they have around their name. I'll take a flyer on. This isn't a flyer. Pittsburgh fans were pissed they lost this guy. And at the number we got him, initially I said, is it a little high? When you really looked at what it was and the fact that he and Jarvis Jenkins come in, and I'm going to struggle with that with Jordan Jenkins.
Oh,
all
I know.
Year.
Me too.
So
me
you're going to have to me give me too. The pass on that. But with him and Jarvis Jenkins coming in, it is really going to help alleviate what we are losing in snacks. And let's take a moment here to just mourn for that.
All right, it's over with. He's a Giant now.
Nah, I still miss him.
Yeah, okay.
I've put down the hate for the bad juju.
I can't talk about the Big Blue. I don't want to talk about the Big Blue.
I miss him already, though.
But I'm happy with the McLennan pickup because I'm obviously it's not snacks.
Steering it right back to our boys
I'm
now, doing, right?
You're damn right.
You move on. This is cutthroat. Tell me what you were telling me about the end of Mo's deal. I'm running a business over here.
That's right. Come on. You want to talk about that?
No, we'll get there. We'll get there.
I'm just saying, McLennan, I think that's a perfect player to stick back in there after losing a player like Snacks.
And a very nice guy if you want to tie it. Thomas, what's going on with our quarterback situation? A nice bridge guy. If we have what we hope we have in a Deion Simon, this is a nice bridge guy. Get another year. Get a half a year out of him. Transition a Simon in. You can move away from that figure right when we're making decisions on Leo, on Sheldon. You save money at the nose with a homegrown talent. Of course, he'll be on the last year of his deal, but I get cross that bridge when we get there.
What do you think about Simon? You think he's going to turn out? You think he's going to be like the Snacks, the undrafted
Same
Snacks?
Way, according to Charlie Cassidy, who is Mike Maccagnan's megaphone for the media.
Yep.
Yes. And Cassidy said, he's the next Snacks. But I'll believe that when I see it. That don't just grow on trees. And that takes a lot of hard work that Snacks put in.
Of course.
If Bowles likes him, if Mac liked him, if Casey Rogers liked him, who was a D-line coach through coming up in his veins in this league, I'll take their word for it off of exactly what we were saying on trust for our new regime.
Coming from the bottom, doing the hard work, it reminds me of somebody. Ron Tez.
You ain't bringing that there for this one. You ain't bringing it there for this one. Not happening.
I just got to throw him in the show. You know
I know
what
you
mean?
Had to. Do you think this has the type of ripple effect on a Richardson and a Williams contract situation for 2017? Because we're looking down the line, and you got Sheldon this year. You got Sheldon next year under the tag Mo played on last year. You got another 4 controllable years on Leonard Williams. All goes well, stays healthy, is what we expect him to be. We pick up his 5th-year option. You're looking at a real decision having to be made 2017 going into 2018 and has to be made by 2018. Do you think this has the type of ripple effect where enjoy it while we got him?
Yes, I think enjoy it while you got him because I think this year depends on if we want Sheldon back or not and if we're going to look into contract talks next year. But I when I saw this contract, I got excited. In 3-4 years, when there's a year left on Mo and Leonard has that team option, we look, is Leonard going to be that? Well, is Leonard going to be Mo? And if Leonard is, then you got to let Mo go. You know what I mean? But if he's not as that good, then you keep Mo and you make Mo a Jet for life.
Are you moving on from Leonard then, or are you moving on from Sheldon?
If he's not Mo, if he's not Muhammad Wilkerson production, I move on from Leonard.
Okay.
I move on from Leonard. Just like every other player that comes in on their rookie contract and they don't turn out what we thought they were, we move on from them.
All I'm saying is in that time, we're playing the fantasy game here. Sheldon's kept his nose clean. Do you give Sheldon more than Mo?
No, definitely
me,
not.
Me personally, you can't do it. I know we have to wait till next year. No, I'm not talking about that. I put that same deal on the table for Sheldon next year.
That you gave Mo this year?
Yep, same money, same deal. And I want to see him tip his hand when he reads that.
Do you think he deserves what Mo has?
Tough question.
Like, as when I see it, I see he got in trouble twice.
I know, that's why I say, no.
And I hate to, I'm sorry for interrupting you, I hate to bring that every time we talk about this, But that has to go in when we're giving a player money.
Absolutely. This is something we brought up both on previous podcasts and just personally talking, is the fact that we can save a little in guarantees and tie him into suspensions and behavior and pot. The fact that the Jets are a little more interested in going with Sheldon over Mo when we were still under the impression that we weren't going to be able to get this deal done. And we talked about it because it's something that looms over any type of negotiation with him. Because this is a guy who has already stated he wants to be a $100 million man. Him and Mo, $100 million men. We demanded 5 years that we put our feet in the sand on and we stuck. So that's why this isn't a $100 million deal. But if you throw a sixth year and you make it look more like a Cox deal, you're looking at six for 104, 105. It would be a $100 million deal.
You never know if he gets that. If he gives us 15 sacks this year, we might think about this whole thing totally different. He might get the same deal as Mo.
But I think with his nose clean, and you can't talk about potential forever. Sheldon's going to have to reach it. And last year was a step down, but I'm chalking it up to the head. The kid had a lot going on and said that Mo and Snacks really helped him get through it. So this is a new year. He's got closure with the one game suspension. It's time for Sheldon to put up, and he just watched his boy get paid. You know he wants it.
He watched his boy who's been consistent his whole career and never been in trouble.
Yep.
So
he knows he has to get there.
This is his year right here.
Absolutely, because you know what? He's going into that fifth year option that unfortunately for him, he's tied into. But this is the contract year, because you're getting paid or you're getting traded.
Yep.
It's that simple. It was harder to trade Mo if they were shopping him. It was harder to trade Mo with the leg and the tag, because you got a huge figure hitting the team's cap that has to get worked out. With Sheldon, a team can say, a first is a lot to pay, but I'll take the flyer because I got him for a year at a super reasonable rate. And then I'm controlling the franchise tag. I'm controlling a potential another year. So Sheldon will have the type of value both for us and league-wide if he keeps his nose clean and gives you the 15 sacks you were just talking about.
And now that we signed Mo, it makes me think that Todd Bowles and Maccagnan are okay if we lose Sheldon, just like it was okay we lose Snacks. We didn't throw it all out there for Snacks. We wanted Snacks. We threw an offer out there.
They went after him late, too. They couldn't meet that figure.
Exactly. But it's a player that, really, if you think about it, you never want to lose. You don't want to lose a Snacks. You don't want to lose a Mo.
I know.
But I think Sheldon is a player like, hey, we lose him, we lose him.
Absolutely not. But the thing with Snacks is he played 50% of the downs for us. Was he dominant? In my opinion, I've said pound for pound,
and those 50%.
Top five player in the NFL. Pound for pound, top five in the whole NFL. You just can't commit that when you, as evident, are about to commit to Mo. And then you got to make a decision on a guy like Sheldon, who you spent a major asset on and has shown what he can do in this league when going on all cylinders.
Like you just said, that Snacks is a top five player pound for pound. So is that more important than Sheldon?
I would say yes. The difference in that situation for the 2016 New York Jets, Sheldon's under contract right now for about five and change. He's controlled next year. Snacks was up, and Snacks was a figure that was going through the roof.
I got you.
It's just circumstances and money that has to be allocated in certain spots. It's just odd for us to be talking about one positional group that we have to allocate this type of money to. You got that talent there, though. You got to build around it. We talked about going to a 4-3. Henderson has experience with Minnesota. He played on the outside. Lee really could be a prototype Derek Brooks 4-3 weak side.
I think this team is super versatile.
Our front seven, and really, in reality, our defense as a whole.
All I think about is Darren Lee being one of the most versatile pieces that we needed this year.
You are very excited for this. We're talking about our vets, and you kept bringing him up.
I think his speed, his mass and his muscle and his strength will come. But his speed is something that you can't get from every player. And that with Bowles is rushing and his blitzing, this is a perfect player for him.
You're not even talking about Calvin Pryor.
I People know about Calvin. No one knows about Darren Lee. You know what I mean?
Not knowing or knowing. I'm saying when you're talking about the role that you just described for Darren Lee, I'm picturing Calvin Breyer. You got two of them. You got them on opposite sides of the fields. You got Gilly controlling deep. You got Harris banging in the middle. If we can get these kids on the outside that we discussed playing a little DN, you know Riley can do it. Jordan Jenkins played the five technique for Georgia last year. He took one for the team. In my opinion, hurt him on draft night. But it is what it is. I'm glad he's here. I think he could do it. Malden showed he could do it. If you can get something out of this outside, Freddie Bishop, a guy I honestly am excited about. Looking forward to seeing what he can do in an NFL camp. I think if you can get something out of the dearth of talent that you're missing, an outside linebacker, with your depth of talent on the defensive line, you can have something really special that the back four and the linebacking core can take advantage of.
I think quarterbacks are going to have the hardest time throwing in the zone with Darren Lee and Calvin Breyer out there.
I think you need to pump the brakes a little on Lee. You have to remember a rookie. I think he's going to do things with Bowles because it's defense. Because you can make a scheme versatile player that do your job. This is all your assignment is on this play. And you could do that on defense. So I can see getting results from a Darren Lee. But I think the way you're talking, you're almost setting yourself up for a disappointment post-rookie year.
I just think he's going to be an exciting player. And his speed is exciting by itself.
In my opinion, Jenkins is the guy that I can see. And I'm not talking talent. I'm just talking purely playing time. I can see Jenkins as the guy who cracks the starting lineup first. And just because of how versatile he is between linebacking core and dropping down to the D-line, I can see him pushing Lee even by the end of the year in snap count.
No, I agree that Jenkins is going to start off quicker. But I think Darren Lee, when they put him in situational, I think we're going to notice him. He's going to be very noticeable player out there.
Now, are we also in agreement that the reason we have this thought process for Lee is Aaron Henderson?
I think
Henderson
Aaron
took Dee's job.
Yeah, I think Aaron is going to be out there. I think Aaron's going to be out there all season. I just think that when you put Darren in for a specific play or situational football, he's going to be out there and you're going to be notice him. He's going to get through the line. He's going to get over the line. He's going to be jumping for the pass.
I think we look at Lee like a situational player, and you're talking about when he's blitzing, when he's doing this, because we are expecting a solid, just steady, bring your lunch pail a la David Harris in Aaron Henderson. And I loved hearing that he was getting chirpy at camp and was taking on that role a little bit, because he's another one we took a shot on, low risk, high reward, and the kid came in, made Dee expendable, and locked himself a starting job this year. Now, granted, did they go with his position in the first round? Absolutely. But he's a guy, I think, as we were talking about again, who can go on the strong side of a 4-3, the weak side of a 4-3, can play the inside with Harris in the 3-4.
I think he's strong. He's strong,
he loved
man.
Special teams last year. That's what he made his niche on. He can bring that again.
I love his grittiness in the line. I love all that. Love
we got
all
him
that.
On 2 years as well in the offseason. So it's not like it's something we can say, oh, he's just going to cash out with us. He could have did that within Oakland.
I don't think our thought process was, okay, we got to bring Aaron Henderson back because Dee's gone, and then we got to draft Darren Lee because we have to replace that position. I think we're bringing in Darren Lee specific because he's going to be a big player. But his speed was so something that
something they couldn't pass up.
You can't pass up that. You can't pass that up.
I want to touch on one thing, and I don't want to get too off topic, but Laquon Treadwell interests you at all? Was there anybody that you said, we took Lee?
No, because I think Lee is that lunch pail kind of player.
Good enough for me. I love his age, 20 years old. We went young early on, and I really love how he can grow with Bowles.
And how about his mother
being for the long term?
His mother quitting a big time job to be his
mother,
going to
be his momager,
his manager.
I love it.
Yeah, hey. They're hardworking people. That's what that is.
Nobody better handling your money than family. As long as you can trust them, nobody better. And I think we will get into a position where we can trust Darren Lee in this defense. I really do. By the end of the year, I agree with you. I think it's going to take a little time. It's going to take some acclimation. And on the front office and coaching end as well, to find that role for him. To see where we can hide a weakness until he can grow.
Yeah, I think
we can maximize it.
Jenkins comes out first because it's easier to put him out there. It's easier to throw him out there because that position needs to be tossed around. around a little bit.
Good enough. And this all stems, again, from our D-line and a guy like Muhammad Wilkerson, who is a linchpin and can be relied upon week in and week out.
Captain Moe, baby.
That's it. That's it. I really am still in disbelief that this deal got done. I can't take it off the phone. It's just, it's... We got our boy.
I just want to keep bringing up that everybody said it wasn't going to happen.
We talked how many times? Me and you said it wasn't going to happen. You literally said the last time we spoke, it sucks that he's gone. I can't believe we lost him. I said, don't talk like he's out the door. And
I had to. And how many days later? That's how it felt.
How many days later, though, he's here for the long haul?
A week.
I tip my cap to Mac. I tip my cap to Moe's camp. And we couldn't be happier it's done. I'm glad I was surprised on this one.
I love it, man. I love it.
Want to say a thank you again for joining us. As always, you can find us on Podomatic, Apple iTunes, Stitcher, and everywhere podcasts can be downloaded.
Throw us a follow on Twitter at NYJ Couch Scouts. Send us a question or a comment, and look out for our future prizes and giveaways.
Want to give a big shout out to our new producer, Gio Garcia, as well as our co-founder, David Schwendeman, and a very big thank you to the fans out there. It's been a while. We missed you. Couldn't be happier to be back, and thank you for listening, as always. Till next week, Jet fans, let's get one.
Catch us next week, Jet fans.
Couch Scouts Podcast, audio of the free.
And the home of the Jets!